Welcome to the Hillingdon Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust podcast.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Hillingdon Hospitals podcast. I'm Jonathan Lowe from the communications team. Joining me today is a very special guest on the podcast. It's the chair of the Multicultural Network, Welly Farah. Welly is here to talk to us about Ramadan and the support on offer to employees here at the Trust who are impacted by it. So Welly, thank you very much for joining us today and a warm welcome to the podcast. Firstly, can you just introduce yourself and outline the role that you play here at the Trust?
Hello everyone, thanks very much Jonathan for giving me the opportunity to discuss this. I think previously I did once. So my name is Welly Farah. I am the Trust is formerly BAME, or now it's called the Multicultural Network. So basically, you know, I'm also, you know, very good for my profession in the radiology department, and also, funny enough, union rep as well for the Society of Radiographers. So it's just for the radiographers, not for everyone else. You know, thanks for the opportunity.
You're very welcome. And moving on to Ramadan then, can you just tell us a bit more generally about it and what it is for those who may not know too much about it?
Okay, so Ramadan is basically, first of all, the third pillar, I believe, one of the five pillars of to be a Muslim. So you have must fast Ramadan as part of your belief. And that comes once every year, as most of the people know, is on the ninth month of the Arabic calendar. It's called Ramadan. And because of that, Ramadan falls within that. So that month, you fast from dusk to dawn for basically you stop fasting completely. I mean, so you fast completely from water, from sexual intercourse, from backbiting, from, you know, food. So, and not just you're fasting from that, but spiritually, you're meant to be also, you know, at nighttime, throughout the day, and also at nighttime observing prayer, supplications, and, you know, forgiveness. So it's a month of really forgiveness for not just Muslims, but then the idea is to have kind of like this, you know, kind of cleanse yourself from what you did throughout the year, because we're human beings, where, you know, commit a lot of different things generally that we can kind of like feel, you know. So in terms of belief wise, that's what Islam believes, and Ramadan is one of those five pillars that can kind of, you know, bring you back to yourself, closer to the Creator.
Okay, excellent. And for staff who are observing Ramadan then, what sort of support does the Trust offer?
Yeah, so staff who's observing Ramadan, is most of them obviously know about how, in terms of shift wise, they normally discuss with their managers. So the most of the managers actually know about the situation, in terms of how long they're fasting and what shifts and how they're going to be. So if there's any, there's always the option of discussing with your manager in terms of human resources, in terms of your manager. You know, if you have any issues with, those, anything to do with Ramadan or anything to do with general stuff, you have this speak up guardian. You've got, myself as a BME, if there's multicultural, I mean, so we've kind of expanded the multicultural as well. So it's not just before us, it used to be Black and Asian, but it's now multicultural. So anyone who feels they're the minority, you know, if a British person feels that they are minority in the hospital, which is, I think, 50% of our, I think, minority groups work in the hospital, then if an English person feels that they feel minority here, they're part of this. So we're not, that's why we call it multicultural, because now UK is supposed to be a multicultural country. There are a lot of other things that we also have a lot of other groups here. We've got disability groups, so you're disabled, you're fasting, we've got you know, the other. So these other network groups are all here to help you. So there's a wide variety of things that you can, and also the unions, you know, if you have issues at work. So yes, there's quite a few different areas where you can go. We have also health and wellbeing service, you know, so if you have any, you know, mental health issues or any, you know, wellbeing issues, also that we have the facility available to us within the trust.
Okay, and for staff then who are working alongside colleagues who are observing Ramadan, is there anything they can do to kind of to support them, or anything they should be mindful of saying or doing, or anything like that?
I think the most important thing is don't eat next to them, because they'll be fasting and very hungry. So, yeah. Might take over.
Don't tempt them with lots of cake.
Don't decide, to be honest with you, the main really thing is just probably just understand that sometimes they might have to go quick prayer for 5 minutes. So that's really the most important thing. And just have a, just generally, obviously, most of the people are respectful, but, you know, we'll also, you know, just understand that they are fasting. Although first 3-4 days is the first week of it is really the most difficult part. And it's, to be honest with you, it's, a lot of it is mental. It's all about your head. Once you put it in your head that it's an obligation, you must do it. It's like going to work. You have to go to work. If everyone had the option of not going to work, then they would stay home. So this is Ramadan, is for Muslims, it's like literally going to work to survive. So for them, first 3 days, you put it in your head, you have to fast. And then after that, it just becomes day after day. Obviously, it's difficult. But for them, a lot of us, it's just the main thing is the spiritual part of, I think they need a lot, you know, support from, mainly just to understand that, you know, they might have to go for prayer, or they might have to just quickly need a little bit of extra time here and there. But generally speaking, just to understand really that this is observed, you know, the people are observing this and they're doing it because they believe in this. I think that's the main. Yes.
And I mean, you've kind of alluded to it, to sort of the change of routine, but I guess what would you say is the biggest impact on Muslims then during Ramadan?
Yeah, the biggest impact is waking up in the morning, because a lot of people are, you know, at night time, in the evening, they go to prayer in the mosques and at their home. So obviously, you know, by the time you break your fasting, 7-8 o'clock, and then you go off to prayer. You come back maybe 11-12 o'clock at night. And then by that time, you know, you're meant to be eating something before you go to bed, if you can. Most people don't, but if you can. And then again, you're meant to be waking up later on before prayer, which is around at the moment is 4:50 at the moment. So hopefully, I think we're going to add 1 hour. It's going to go forward. So it's going to even go further down. And it's going to go further forward, 1 hour forward, basically, when we add extra. So it's going to be you have to wake up about 4 o'clock in the morning, before 4 o'clock, have something, and then go back to sleep for a few hours. So the main thing would be really challenging would be waking up in the morning. That would really be the main challenge. And obviously, you know, but apart from that, you know, I feel more energetic, to be honest with you, when I'm working on Ramadan. First week, yes, you feel, you know, tired and whatever, because your body's used to eating food. But then after that, you feel a lot more energetic and, you know, stronger. If you don't eat a lot at night. So just avoid eating a lot. A lot more drinking, actually.
I think I was reading, actually, kind of it ultimately kind of sort of refreshes you and cleanses you, and that's kind of the whole point of it, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to be honest with you, I find out, I used to think when I was younger that, you know, it's just a substitute. It's a substitute to, you eat at night and you fast a day. So your body is getting, you know, what you need. It's actually the opposite to that. You eat as little as possible and you keep away from food. Because if you think about it, you know, biologically, food is a foreign body. It comes to our body. You know, it has to be excreted, cleaned, and, you know, all the toxins taken out by our liver, kidneys, whatever. So in generally, you know, food is the one that causes us most of the problems of human beings come from health issues come from food. So if you eliminate food and you reduce the amount of food you eat, it's a very general basic thing. I think it's the principal belief in Islam that the Prophet Muhammad, kind of like one of his narrations in terms of hadith, I don't know if you know about it, but it's basically that it says that divide your body, divide your food into three. What you eat in your body should be three. What you eat in, what, actually the word is when you put your stomach, should have, a human being should have three, they divide it into what, three thirds. So one third should be air, another third should be water, and the last third should be food. That, so that's the maximum you can eat, basically. If you cannot, if you can have food, that's the maximum you should eat. So if you think about it, it's like basically what, 33% of our stomach should be only food. The rest should be just water, which is another 33%. And then you've got another 33 point something percent, which is, or 34%, which is supposed to be just air, means there's space to breathe. Because if when you eat, right, what happens when you eat and you stuff yourself, you can't even breathe. So how are you going to digest that food? How's that good? You know, how's that going to help your body? The body's going to, you know what I mean? So the whole idea is to basically stay away from food, clean your body, let your liver rest and rest of your organs. And same thing in health and also spiritually, also cleanse yourself from what you did in the last 11 months. And yeah, so this is, yeah, it's just a basic kind of a principle, I suppose.
No, thank you. That's very well explained. And any other kind of factor to be mindful of then during Ramadan at all? Anything that you can think of?
Yeah, I think the main thing would be that at the end of the month it would be a celebration of Eid, which is just Eid means a kind of a celebration for your achievement, for the achievement that you fasted the whole 30 days, 29 days. Because the lunar year, the Islamic calendar is a lunar year. So the lunar year is 1,445, I think, at the moment. And it started from the Hijrah, from the time when Muhammad went from Makkah, Medina. He was prosecuted in Makkah for 10 years. So he left there and he immigrated to Medina because people in Medina welcome. So from that time, the Hijrah date started. So it's 1,445 at the moment in the lunar year. And the moon, it basically is the Islamic calendar follows the moon in terms of date-wise. So the month is either 29 days or 30 days. Hence the reason why it's different times of the year, Ramadan, because it's always, I think it's over 2 weeks or something like that behind. So it's always like changing. Same as the other, you know, calendars, like the Chinese, they also follow the lunar year. The Jews also follow the lunar year. So some people compensated by putting extra 3 days for the 13 months or so. But the Islamic calendar is 12 months, it's either 29 days or 30 days. And it's Ramadan is the ninth one. So yes, so the main thing really is that Eid at the end of the month. And that would probably be more or less around maybe April 11, 12, 9, around that time. And that's for the sighting of the moon. So once you sight the moon, that's the beginning of the next month. And if you don't, if the sighting doesn't come, then normally what happens is they look at, they wait for the 30th. So after the 30th, because the month cannot be more than 30 days, you just, the next day that you have to eat, right? Okay. So basically, that's really the main thing, the celebration of Eid, which is going to be the end of it. And that's it. And if we allow us, hopefully we'll try to do something here, possibly if something, you know, can kind of like, if we have time and obviously some sort of organization, then maybe we'll do some little program at the end of the month.
Excellent, great stuff. And just one more then, what's kind of the bringing back to Hillingdon, because I'm sure there'd be lots of colleagues observing Ramadan, what's kind of the biggest takeaway that you'd like to leave for listeners to this podcast to do with Ramadan?
Yeah, I think it's not so much of what you should do Ramadan, so we leave that for the chapel or chaplain team, because they've got more specific and they're more, you know, in terms of what you should do, the steps, any of you want to know. I think the chaplains, we have volunteer chaplains, very good. And we've also got Brother Tahir, who works in the biomedical science. So those guys, if any further questions you have, regarding questions, you know, about it, if you want to observe it and you're not sure, then that's, but here's more about just general, for general public really, to understand that others are fasting, and basically this is going to be happening from the around the 10th or the 11th of this month, which is either from the Sunday or Monday. Hopefully we can start. So just to be aware, for everyone to be aware of the hospital, our staff, our, you know, patients, if they read the podcast themselves. So this is really the whole idea, is just to be informed about it. So, you know, there are a lot of people who are in different departments who are observing maybe just a half day, for full day, you know, just to experience it and to kind of, you know, support our staff. So, yeah, I'll also encourage others in terms of health, not necessarily spiritually, because most of the religions, they do have some sort of a fasting in them. It's different ways of doing it, but it's more or less principle of this. I think the Islam is the most strictest in terms of fasting, because we fast from everything, literally. You know, you fast from everything. So I would advise, or not so much advice, but you know, I would kind of like encourage others to try it, just at least one day, or even, you know, one day, and just, you know, hopefully, if things allow us. The only problem is because of time changes, it would have been nice if you could do a iftar day where staff can come in and we could just have them just to do a iftar, so kind of like experience it all together. You know, because experience, because Ramadan really is the time of family time. It's only time that you get all the family, even those people who don't sit on the table around together. Because nowadays we have, you know, devices that we all busy doing with. We hardly sit down together on the table as a family. So this is really the only time of the year that everyone comes together every day of the week, sits down around the table and have a big meal together. So I want, hopefully, that experience, if possible, this year to be observed in this hospital. So I don't know how it's going to happen, but we'll try something with Cynthia and, you know, the other network groups and the stuff, make something happen, possibly. But apart from that, yes, I think that'd be good.
Okay. All right. Okay. Excellent. That'd be something to look forward to. And I was just reading, there is it's a nationwide thing, an NHS Ramadan Challenge. I think for more information, just go on the hashtag NHS Ramadan Challenge 2024. But it allows people to take part in a day of fasting, I think, effectively. So that's something like you mentioned as well. So that'd be something, you know, for people who are interested to take part in. Just finally, then, you said if people did want to contact you regarding any issues, what's the best way of contacting you then?
So basically, I am. The best way to contact is just contact Cynthia. Cynthia is okay. The heart of the older network. Cynthia OG.
Yeah.
Basically, cynthia.og, you know, at nhs.net. Or myself, Weli, Weli, .farah, at Farah, at nhs.net. Or all other networks, we're kind of all connected. So if you contact anyone, or even Paula Lewis, she's, you know, the Speak Up Guardian. There's also Martin, Janet Martin. So there's quite a few different people, but the main thing, central person is, you know, Cynthia OG. So you can contact us, and just basically we will be able to, you know, direct you to the right areas. Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you very much then to Weli today for joining me on the podcast. Hope you enjoyed taking part. We'll be back again soon with another podcast, so keep an eye out on Buzzsprout or wherever you get your podcasts for that. And if you're listening and you want to get involved in a future podcast, then you just have to email thh-tr.communications@nhs.net. Thank you very much indeed, Weli, for your time today. Wish you all the very best. And until next time, goodbye.
Excellent. Thank you. Thanks very much, Jonathan.
So, that's it for today's episode. Thank you for listening. Please do join in the conversation about this episode, tag us in social media, and send us any other comments, and let us know your thoughts, and we'll see you next time.